So that's one of Paul's happier letters, they say, in the beginning of Philippians. This is his happiest letter that he has written. It gives you a little insight to Paul. That's all the biblical scholarship you're going to get from me today, because I'm taking all of these biblical scriptures and completely out of context to preach about dogs. Or more importantly, some dog personalities that we need to be aware of in our lives. And sometimes these dogs' personalities show up in our workplace, they show up in our churches, they show up in our own selves. So, hope you're ready for this. The first dog personality I want you to be aware of is the diva dog.
Diva dog.
The diva dog.
Diva dog.
Diva dog.
Diva dog is just like what was spoken in the scripture here, is worried and concerned only about their own appearances. You'll know the diva dog. It's so funny that the conference is happening right now, or will be happening. If you ever want to see who the diva dogs are in MCC, go to a conference with MCC folks. The diva dogs in force. You know they're the diva dogs because they're the ones that arrive about 5 minutes after whatever meeting or service is taking place and demand to sit up front. It's all about them. Make sure that it's appearances with them. They arrive and everybody's there. I have a great story about an MCC event when Elder Nancy Wilson was being installed as a moderator in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. We were all there, and I won't reveal the person's name. You know, because he's clergy here in Florida somewhere. So there, you narrow it down. And he insisted he had new vestments made for the service, and he was going to be the diva dog of the clergy during the processional. And he was so excited because there was an odd number of clergy, which meant everybody was going two by two, except for he was going to be at the end of the clergy and be able to walk down the aisle center by himself. Well, following behind the clergy was the lay ministry council, which I was part of. And as the chair, I was the next person to go. So as we were lining up in the back of the sanctuary, I kept on standing shoulder to shoulder to him so that he thought we were going to walk together down the aisle, and he seemed so upset. The diva dog personality coming out of him. Diva dogs are all about not coming for the worship experience of God, but making sure that people are worshiping them. Am I right on that? The next dog personality I want you to be aware of is closely related to the diva dog, and that's the yippity-yappity dog. That's what I call it, the yippity-yappity dog. I sometimes have slides when I do this, and I'll show images of those dogs. Every time I think of the yippity-yappity dog, I go back to my childhood, visiting my Aunt Don and Uncle Dick's house. They had a yippity-yappity dog. It was one of these little miniature poodles. And every time you came to the door of their house, that dog would just start going, would not stop. I call them yippity-yappity clickety-clacky, because they also had a tiled foyer, so you could hear the nails going back and forth constantly. The yippity-yappity personality, closely related to the diva dog, because they are also about attention-seeking. They want attention on them all the time, but more than getting the attention from everybody and trying to be the diva, they want the attention from their owner, from their master, from whoever's in charge, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are constantly begging their owner to pick them up because somebody's at the door, seeing what's going on. Some of you have yippity-yappity dogs, I know you do. As a matter of fact, I always picture them as being small, tiny dogs. And I'm an animal lover. Cats and dogs have both right now. I'm a cat person.
Yay!
And I always tell people, you know, if you're going to get a dog and it's going to be under 40 pounds, get a cat. Because you avoid the yippity-yappity personality in the dog. But what do those yippity-yappity personalities do? Not only do they demand the attention from people, but they derail the conversation. Have you ever gone to someone's home that has a yippity-yappity dog? You don't want to stay there very long, do you? No. Same thing happens in our congregation sometimes. If we have a yippity-yappity personality here, they all of a sudden start to derail what's going on, and visitors may not feel welcome to come here if you're constantly hearing that yippity-yappity. It'll drive our visitors away. Next dog. Call him the kitchen dog. Kitchen dog hangs out in the kitchen, constantly moaning and groaning that it's hungry. Did anybody have one of those kitchen dogs? We have a kitchen cat, actually. Kitchen dogs, constantly screaming that they're hungry. In our churches, we sometimes hear them saying things like, I'm not being spiritually fed. I need to be more spiritually fed. And that's a legitimate thing. That is very legitimate. Back in my old church in MCC Detroit, we used to end our sermons, or our services of telling visitors that if you didn't get what you needed here today, if you weren't fed, please talk to one of the members of staff, because we may need to adjust something, or we may need to guide you to another location. And that's fine. That's fine. People don't always get spiritually fed. But there are some who fall into that kitchen dog personality who constantly are complaining they're not being fed and they're not being spiritually fed. And it's because they also fall into what Reverend Dr. Mona West, one of the great leaders in NCC, she leads our Office of Formation and Leadership Development, she calls consumer spirituality. She says that our churches are suffering from consumer spirituality, meaning that people are arriving to our churches and thinking that it's just like the mall, that you can go in and get what you need and get it like that. Well, spiritual transformation is a process.
Mm-hmm.
So while we may recognize that people come when you're hungry, we're going to ask people to go through the process with us. Enjoy what you're getting. Masticate on it. Chew on it a little bit. Try to figure out what the heck I'm talking about today. Listen to a sermon or a song that the choir sings and think, you know, maybe it's not the song that you wanted to hear. It didn't fill you, but think about what am I supposed to get out of this? What nourishment am I supposed to get out of this moment? I think that's where our kitchen dogs suffer. They don't take time to chew, to contemplate, to realize they are being fed. The other thing that we see with our kitchen dogs is that they fail to realize that sometimes it's not just in the eating, it's the feeding that they find nourishment. So as we heard today during the announcements, we're going to hear more as I go on, there's a lot of feeding to be done here in this church. There's a lot of opportunity for people to reach out and help others, and you might just realize you're getting fed while you're the one doing the feeding. So my next dog here, I call him the pirate dog. Pirate dog is one that goes and buries their treasure.
Ooh.
You ever had one of those dogs? You give them a bone, you give them a ball or something. We had a dog that every time I bring home a new bone or she liked the knotted ropes, she would run around the house or the yard for hours trying to find a place to hide it. Didn't want to play with it, didn't want to enjoy it, just wanted to hide it. She was a pirate dog. And the pirate dog personality creeps up on us sometimes. God blesses us with a gift, with a talent, and we think, I can't share this. I can't be part of the choir. I can't bring it, lift up my voice and be part of the lectionary and read. I can't do that. And we hide our gift and bury it and become that pirate dog. What happens to that treasure after a while? After it's been sitting?
Rust.
It rots. It disappears. You know what God likes? God likes a good game of fetch. So if you think about a pirate dog, you think about the opposite of a pirate dog. You give that pirate dog a ball, you throw the ball, instead of that pirate, the pirate dog will take the ball and go and bury it. But a fun dog will bring that back to the master, will it not? And what does the master do?
Throws
it again. Same relationship we have with the gifts that God gives us. God blesses you with a gift, you return it, it's given back to you twofold. Sometimes you might get a little Scooby snap, a pat on the head, a belly rub. You don't know what's going to come back as long as you bring it back and avoid being a pirate dog. So before I go into my next one, which will be the last of the dogs I want you to be aware of, I have to tell you two spiritual truths that I know. The first spiritual truth that I know is that God has a nickname for you. As a matter of fact, God has a nickname for all of us and uses the same name. Because it's what God thinks of you. And that name is somebody. God thinks you are somebody. In God's eyes, you are somebody. You're not a 9-digit social security number, an employee ID number. You're not the person that sits in the 5th row of the church community. That's not. You are somebody in God's eyes. I want you to, Reverend Jesse Jackson, during the civil rights movement, you see the signs with I am somebody. If you believe his chant with the Green World Coalition where they would shout, I am somebody, and to instill that sense that you are somebody. I want all of you to do that with me today. So when I, when I do this, I want you to say, I am somebody.
I am somebody.
Oh, you can edit that.
I am somebody.
One more time.
I am somebody.
That's God's nickname for you. That's how God sees you as somebody special with a special calling and a special gift that God wants you to use. Now, my second spiritual truth that I'll tell you about is that God's voice is loudest in your own head. There's many prophets among us, and there have been many prophets in the past, but God's voice is loudest in your own head. I don't tell everybody that, because, I'm going to take you away somewhere. But God's voice is loudest in your own head. And that leads me into the last dog I want you to be aware of, and that dog is the pointer dog. Anybody have like a poinsettia or any of the pointer dogs that they use for game hunting and that sort of thing? What's the pointer dog's job? They point out where the game is, right? They point out where things are. That's not quite what I'm talking about here. I'm a pointer dog in my profession. I do workplace strategy and design, so I build offices, and I know how the offices have to be built, so I'm going through during the phases that they're being built, and I point out what's wrong. Because that's my job. I get paid to do that. But I make sure somebody else, that it's being followed up with. But the pointer dog personality I want you to be aware of is the ones that constantly point out people's flaws, constantly point out what's going wrong in the church, constantly point out what's going wrong in the workplace. You know, they're the ones that walk through, somebody should pick up that trash out of the parking lot. I saw some trash out of the bushes over there. You know, somebody should really go over there and read that in the dirt over there. Somebody should do that. That person is not by himself. Somebody in the church should know what they're talking about. Somebody ought to get the church finances in order.
Speak it.
Somebody ought to get those church finances in order.
Go home now.
God's voice is loudest in your own head. God's voice is loudest in your own head. When we fall into the pointer dog personality and we hear, and we start to fall into that mindset of somebody ought to do something. We are the somebody. God's pointing out to you right then and there what needs to be done. And asking you not to be a pirate dog, and to serve, and to use your talent to make sure that something happens there. Alright, so I beat up on all these dogs. So what kind of dog should we be? Any idea?
A servant dog.
What's that?
A servant dog.
A servant dog? Very close, I'm going to talk about that. So our second reading said, I turned my head and I saw yet another wisp of smoke on its way to nothing. This solitary person, completely alone, no children, no family, no friends, yet working obsessively into late night, compulsively greedy for more, and never bothering to ask, why am I working like a dog and having no fun? Because I would say, it's better to have a partner than go it alone, share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if no one is to help, tough. Two in a bed warm with each other. Alone, you shiver all night. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. It's important that I read that because I want to talk about the next dog that I want us to start to emulate. And that's the Saint Bernard. We're in the church. I want to give you a little bit of history about St. Bernard. Everybody knows St. Bernard, right?
I have one.
You have one?
I have
one. You have one? Oh, God bless you. since the early 18th century, monks that were living up in the Alps started using the St. Bernard's through a portion of the Alps called the St. Bernard Pass. And it's a connection between Italy and Switzerland. And they used it because of the broad shoulders that they would clear the path in the snow as travelers are going between Italy and Switzerland. And over a 200-year span, about 2,000 people, from lost children to even Napoleon's soldiers, were rescued because of the heroic works of the St. Bernard dogs. It was sometime between 1660 and 1670 that the monks at St. Bernard Pass realized that these dogs had this great sense of smell and could go out and see people who were trapped and buried under the snow. And so they started to train these St. Bernards in this rescue mission. How did they train them? They trained them to go out in packs of three. And then to this day, they still use St. Bernards. They use other dogs, right, for search and rescue and other things. And to this day, instead of, when I was a kid, we always saw the cartoons with the St. Bernards and the barrel that are on their collar, to help people. They actually, today, go out with little backpacks on, if you will, that have things like GPS units and thermal blankets and first aid kits. They're still using them today all over the world and using other dogs that they train for search and rescue as well. But they send them out in a pack of three. And there's a reason why they do that. And this is important to think about how we should be doing our ministry in church. The teamwork, the packs of three, the power of three. The three dogs go out because they go out to search and find somebody. And when they do, two of those dogs stay with the person. They lie sometimes or train to lie side by side on each side of that person to keep them warm. And the third dog goes back to lead the rest of the team to where they need the help. I think that's a great analogy for the way we should do ministry work. The powers of teams going out to search for those who are in need of healing and help and rescue, and letting those who have that gift to be with them and to do that ministry work, to be there and to really provide that aid, while others are coming back and recruiting more members and saying, hey, look, we found a need. We found a mission. Come this way. So what we heard today during the announcements when people were saying, we need more folks in our children's ministry. We need more help in some of our other ministries. They're out there. They're the dogs that are out there doing the work. They've sent some out here today to ask all of you what your talents are and what your gifts are. If you have the ability to come and follow them to continue with this work. So I want to leave you with three things today. First of all, I want to remind you that you are somebody in God's eyes. And that God's voice is loudest in your own head. So the next time you walk around and you think somebody ought to do something,
I am somebody.
The second thing I want to remind you is that you don't have to do this work alone. One of the great things about being part of a team is that you're not alone and you can trust and have the help of others. So I want to remind you to be like the St. Bernards. Work in pairs, work in teams of threes. Go out and bring others to help you in the ministry that you're here at this church, in your lives, and in your workplace. And finally, I want to remind you to beware of God.